Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 orders. Service fees apply for 3 orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
On a draft day Thursday from the beautiful American Dream here in the great state of New Jersey in the shadows of MetLife Stadium, where later tonight someone will be drafted by the New York Football Giants that will play in that stadium with tons of pressure on their shoulders. Same with the New York Jets, the very not talked about New York Jets. But I do want to pose something to you, Tiki, because we got a lot of experts that work at this radio station, a lot of sports experts.
Yep.
A lot of guys that I respect, and probably, I would say, the preeminent draft expert at this station, the guy that knows more ball than anyone, I think we'd all agree, is clearly Al Dukes. And Al brought up...
Because he cares so much.
He cares, man. He definitely does. He analyzes tape. He knows what he's talking about. So when Al speaks, I listen. So Al posed a fair question about Abdul Carter, who is right now the odds-on favorite to be selected by the New York Giants at number 3 overall. He said he's too small.
Too small.
So Tiki Barber, as someone who was also called too small throughout his life, but you weren't an edge pass rusher, you were a running back.
Yep.
How would you assess that critique from WFAN draft expert Al Dukes?
Well, Abdul Carter is listed. I've never met him in person, so I can't tell you. But he's listed at 6'2 and a half.
Yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Sean. 252 or something.
Tiny.
I'm on it.
Tiny?
I mean, that's a tiny guy.
I mean, so...
For an edge pass rusher, kind of.
So when I first got in the league, Michael Strahan, who's a Hall of Famer, obviously a legend, weighed, I want to say, like 288 or something like that.
Right.
He was massive. He felt massive. And it's what you needed to be at that time. By the end of his career, when he retired in 11? Yeah, 251 is Abdul Carter, he's listed at. Michael Strahan weighed about 255, 260 or something like that. And so what's happened is it used to be, DNs used to need to be big because you were run stoppers. You had to also be able to run rush the passer. What's happened now is that these DNs have become super athletes. How much do you think Micah Parsons weighs?
269 pounds.
I would guess he's more like 240.
Oh, I'm off by 29 pounds?
And so I think Abdul Carter looks little because of the number he wears.
Really?
Yes. So when you wear number 11, which he did at Penn State, it's leaning. Mm. So it makes you look little.
So it's all like a Jedi mind trick.
It is completely a mind trick.
I'm going to start buying number 11 shirts.
You should.
And so I think he looks little, but he's not little.
So this is not a concern that one would have, or you would have.
I would not have this concern.
Micah Parsons, how much did you say you thought he would?
240.
Yeah, 245. Right. Yeah. That's crazy.
It's always inflated, too. So,
it's probably less than that.
It's probably less than that.
They always say the bend, Evan. When you're small like that, you get the bend.
You get the bend.
So just for the record, you are not concerned about the size of Abdul Carter.
I have one rule for really evaluating young talent. Do you show up on tape? So if I watch your game in college, am I seeing you? Am I like, damn, that guy is amazing. I can't take my eyes off that player.
Right.
And with Abdul Carter, that's how he was. And more so, that's how Travis Hunter was. Like, you couldn't not see him on any play, offensively or defensively. He was everywhere. Now, part of that is because these broadcasters were obsessed with Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders. So anytime you watch the Colorado game, even when they weren't doing anything, the camera was trained on them. But you could always watch them make plays. They always showed up. And Abdul Carter shows up. To me, that's the most important thing.
About 20 minutes ago, we were at a commercial break, and one of the guys here, one of the kids here, asked me a question. Mm-hmm. No one has ever asked me this question. He said, Evan, who's your favorite Giant of all time, not named Tiki Barber? And I said, the Giants? That was you, yes? I was like, I can't answer that question. I now have an answer.
Wow. Who is it?
My favorite Giant of all time will be here with us in 30 minutes live. You know who that is? My favorite Giant of all time. My favorite Giant running back of all time, Tyrone Tracy.
Nice.
And he's stopping by in a half hour.
Nice.
And I just hit me. That's my favorite Giant of all time. And you want to know why?
Why?
Because he's stopping by in a half hour. And I appreciate that.
Are you even allowed to have a favorite Giant?
It's funny. I never thought about that when he asked. Because usually I get like, hey, you're a Met fan. Who's your favorite Met of all time? Who's your favorite Jet of all time? Who's your favorite Net of all time? No one ever asks you like, who's your favorite of a team you didn't root
okay,
for
so
of
let's,
all time?
Okay, so let's do that. So who's your favorite Yankee of all time?
My favorite Yankee of all time?
Oh,
this is easy. Doc could...
I thought you were going to say Juan Soto.
All right, who's your...
you know what? Yeah. Hit more than 230 for me, buddy.
Who's your favorite Dolphin of all time?
My favorite Dolphin of all time is Chad Pennington. Keep going.
All right, who's your favorite... Nick of all time.
Come on, Jason Kidd. I mean, this is the
no love for Keith Van Horn.
This is not even fair. Jason Kidd got me to two NBA finals. I mean, it's not even in
that. Who's your favorite Patriot of all time?
My favorite Patriot of all time is Darrell Revis.
This is not right. Ridiculous.
But that was the funny part.
This is ridiculous.
What Giant could have I answered that with? You know what I mean? Because I thought about my Jet fandom, and I was like, all right, well,
I got one.
Who can I play that? Don't tell me Leonard Williams.
No. There's two, actually.
Yeah, I have one on your team right now.
Well, no, he didn't play long enough for you to have said. I was going to say Plexico.
No.
But he didn't play long enough.
I didn't like Plexico. Next.
Jumbo Elliott.
Yeah, Jumbo's a good one. Monday Night Miracle. Jumbo's a great one.
I was going to give you Snacks Harrison and Kareem McKenzie.
Yeah, those are solid. I think I'd go with Jumbo. I think that's my answer.
There
that's a
go.
Good one. I changed my answer. It's no longer Tyrone. Actually, it is Tyrone Tracy until about 4:50. When he leaves, I'll change it to
Sean,
Jumbo.
Sean, who's your favorite Met of all time?
It's Doc Gooden. I was at his no-hitter with the Yankees.
See that? You can't do the same thing as him.
Well,
all right, who's your favorite Jet of all time?
Wayne Corbett. Long Island, Hofstra, wide receiver.
See, that's a viable answer.
That's original, and that's not trolling the other team by picking someone who played for the other
team.
Well,
it's not trolling. It's giving an answer. Like, I'm not a fan of those teams, so how would
I answer? They were great players on the Giants. You had to have been, as a kid, watching the Giants being like, man, Joe Morris is pretty amazing.
All right, Kent Graham. I really like Kent Graham. Good little backup. Nice little quarterback.
Nice.
Never got enough respect.
I'm
going with Kent Graham.
Only because he beat Denver on a last-minute throw to Monty Toomer in the back right corner of the end zone.
That's right. Yeah, sure. I'll give that to him. But it's such an interesting question when he asked me because I never thought about it. Like, who would ever think about my favorite player on teams I didn't root for? But it's so fun to now go through the Yankees and the Knicks because it's easy. Oh, Jason Kidd. Oh, Doc Gooden. Okay. Very easy. But Juan Soto would have been a nice answer.
Who is your favorite Ranger? Of all time.
My favorite Ranger of all time?
Not so quick on that one.
He'd have to know one first.
Yeah, I'd have to actually know a Ranger.
Right, who's your favorite Devil of all time?
My favorite Devil of all time? Actually, like Bobby Holik. He was pretty good.
Wow.
Now, you know what I liked? Honestly, Martin Brodeur. I appreciated his greatness. And you know,
it's a good one.
I don't want to troll. My favorite Yankee of all time, and this is going to pain me to say because he stuck it to my team. I loved watching Mariano Rivera. Mm. That was an artist. The fact that a guy could throw one, but that's right. You cheer me because I'm showing respect to the Yankees.
You actually sound like an IBO right now.
I'm being an IBO. I've transformed myself into an IBO.
But you're a genuine IBO right now.
Smells like he has genuine IBO right now, too.
You're not a false IBO.
And you know
like
what?
You usually are.
The other thing is, like, the Mets actually got to Mariano Rivera. The more I think about it, like, they had moments in the regular season, David Wright, Matt Franco, and even in the World Series. Like, Jay Payton hit a home run off Mariano Rivera, and if it wasn't for God being a Yankee fan, Mike Piazza's fly ball in Game 5 would have gone over the fence. You can't tell me something wasn't in the air that knocked that ball down. There's something off about that because I'm telling you, that ball was hit like the same hit he had on 9/11, the post-9/11 home run, except post-9/11 it went out, like, easily. But against the Yankees, we know there were some nefarious things going on.
Atmosphere.
And by nefarious, literally, I just assume
jet
God.
Fuel from a plane at LaGuardia.
Or just God doesn't like the Mets, something like that. Let's go to Mark. He's calling from Southern California. How are you, Mark?
SoCal.
I'm What's good. Up, Mark? How are you guys doing today?
Doing well.
Good, good. Sean, I got one thing I got to say. I hope they're paying you, giving you two paychecks for what you got on, my brother.
I can guarantee you they are not.
Well, they are too. You deserve it. You earned it with that.
Facts.
For sure.
That's facts, Mark. Facts, Mark.
Oh.
Hey, Mark, just root for Jackson Dart to go third overall with another paycheck, all right?
My favorite player for the Knicks was Clyde Frazier because of the cool sideburns. But
that's right.
My thing is with Tiki, I'm gonna have to say that I gotta go with the Abdul Carter situation right now, or should I say pick, because the Giants, you know, the Giant way, great running back. Good court running back.
Yeah, old school. Good running backs, great defense.
And great defense, and we are specialists when it comes to pass rushers. We always have been, always probably will be. And the other good thing is, this year, I got to give the change. The backfield, the corners and DBs, he picked some really good ones this year to solidify compared to last year. I think that's going to help stabilize the defense even more so.
Yeah, well, I think a big part of it, appreciate your call, Mark, the big part of what's with Joe Shane's draft last year was Tyler Newbin and Drew Phillips. Now, they had really good seasons, and before he got hurt, I think Newbin had taken 100% of the snaps at safety.
He did, yeah.
And so those guys proved to be good rookies. The question is, are they going to be good second, third, fourth, fifth-year players? Because that's how you determine whether or not the draft was a success. It's not what they did in year one, unless, like in 07 and Jerry Reese's first draft, they win a championship,
yes.
And all those guys contributed. But we won't know for a couple more years. I still think you need a superstar at number three.
Well,
to me,
you hit on it.
The superstar is Travis Hunter.
Well, you hit on it. Like, take – and by the way, one good draft pick. Joe Shane's made some good draft picks. I'll give you another one. Tyrone Tracy, my favorite 100%. Giant of all time. He'll be joining us at 4:30, just so you know.
Are you just saying he's your favorite Giant of all time because Breece Hall was my favorite Jet of all time?
I'm saying it because I appreciate – I'm going to be serious with you. I appreciate that Tyrone Tracy is taking time out of his day on a draft day to stop by and hang out with diehard Giant fans
yep.
at the Dream Bar. And that means a lot to me. And that means a lot to the people. So it has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with Breece. It has nothing. He showed respect. And so for today, Tyrone Tracy is my favorite Giant.
Nice.
And maybe on my fantasy draft night when I draft him in like the sixth round as this sleeper breakout, he'll be my favorite Giant.
That's how I won a bunch of draft or fantasy football drafts for people.
Oh, did you?
Because they draft me late.
That's right.
And I had good seasons.
But let me ask you this question about being a star. Kayvon Thibodeau. You've heard of him?
Yes.
You're aware of Kayvon?
Yes.
Is Kayvon Thibodeau a star in the NFL?
Not yet.
Oh, not yet. Yeah, he's been in the league for a couple years now.
This will be his fourth year.
Kayvon Thibodeau is a good football player. Is
yes,
that fair to say?
He's been hurt.
Okay. No, but he's a good yep. player.
Yes.
Sean, would you agree? Good player.
Very good player.
Very good player.
Very good player.
I understand.
He needs to play with Leeds, but
I understand the Giant fan who looks at where he was picked and says simply, not good enough.
Hmm.
And that's what comes with three overall. You can be good. That's not good enough.
Right, you have
you need
to be great.
To be great. And the biggest issue with Kayvon, and I bring him up because he was taken sixth overall, if memory serves correct. Right, Sean?
Fifth, right?
Fifth overall, right? Even worse. I think it was sixth, but whatever. I guess I know more Giants than you.
No, it was fifth because Neil was seventh.
I'll double check. I mean, you better know. If I'm wrong, it's okay. Because, you know.
I think Sauce was fourth overall.
Whatever. The point is, Kayvon Thibodeau was a top six pick, right?
Yes.
To be worth it that high. You can't be good. You need to be great. Now, for the Jet fans who are getting no love this week or this month because it's all Giant talk, that's our issue with Leonard Williams when he was a Jet. It wasn't that he sucked. It wasn't that he was a bust. It was that when you pick that high, you better be a stud. So understand this with Abdul Carter. He can't be good. He needs to be great. And if he's not great, we're going to be sitting here 3 years from now, 4 years from now, 5 years from now, talking about regret in terms of where he was selected. And so That's the pressure with being taken number three overall. Now, do I think Abdul Carter is going to be an elite-level pass rusher? I don't know. But to quote the great Joe Beningo, they better be right.
Yeah.
Because if they're not right and he's Kayvon Thibodeau, again, we're not happy with the pick.
Yeah, and the challenge with Kayvon is he's been good, but he hasn't made a Pro Bowl yet. And
that's not good enough.
And if you're he was fifth, by the way, the fifth overall pick.
What did I say?
You said six.
Like I said, fifth. I told you.
And so
yeah,
it's a low bar because it's easy to find your way into the Pro Bowl when guys opt out or get hurt or whatever it may be. But he hasn't been that. Part of it's because of injury. Some of it's because of how he was used with Wink Martindale's system. I mean, we did that film study on him in real time on our show. And it was, I don't know, 60% of the time he was dropping into coverage.
Yeah.
So you draft a guy to be a pass rusher and he's dropping into coverage to confuse defenses and bring zone pressure from the other side. It didn't fit his skill set. And so I think he's still, as crazy as it sounds, going into his fourth year, still trying to find his kryptonite, right? And so, or anti-kryptonite, I should say. And so I think he's an interesting spot with this Giant team because some people are saying, move on. Like, trade him.
Yeah.
Like, he's the one guy that Giants are saying trade.
Right.
But I still think he has more upside than he's shown so far. And if you draft Abdul Carter, you almost make him expendable.
Well, I would look at it as if I draft Abdul Carter, I'm trying to build that elite-level pass rush because you never have enough pass rushers. But Abdul Carter better be a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
When you're taking that high, and that's my overall point, he better be great. He can't be good. He's got to be amazing. He's got to be elite. Let's go to Gary in East Meadow. Good afternoon, Gary. How are you?
What up, Gary?
Hey, Evan. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
So, first of all, your favorite Giant of all time should be Dave Jennings.
Yeah, the problem was Dave's before my time. I love him as a broadcaster, but like I don't remember him as a player, so it's tough for me.
Okay, but second of all, I think the Jets should take Tyler Warren at 7.
I agree. I agree. And I'm talking, and by the way, my favorite Jet Giant should be Don Maynard if I really want to go all the way with this. But the problem is, like, I could say that, but I didn't watch them play. So when I look at favorite players, it's guys I watched, unless it's Melot, because then I just put him as my favorite player, and I buy his jersey. And Christy Mathewson, that's another guy I love. They didn't have numbers back then, Teak. Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy. But it's interesting you talk about the Jets. We haven't talked at all about who the Jets should
I know,
draft.
Because you Giant fans are pigs.
It's not. We're pigs.
I'm just kidding.
It's like the Jets are in a boring spot because you're likely to draft an offensive lineman. Now, it shouldn't be boring because it's critical to success is having a solid offensive line and a deep offensive line. And I think that's what the Jets are going to do. It's just – It's almost weird that we're not even
I'll tell you why.
Contemplating what they're going to
I
do.
I think there is three reasons why the Jets are getting no love. Okay? One of which I won't even include as a reason, but it is a reason. There are more of you people than there are me people.
What do you mean, you people?
There are more Giant fans in this town than Jet fans. It's just a reality. It's a reality that sometimes we ignore, but it's true. You got, like, all the teams I root for, I'm used to that. There are more Yankee fans, there are more Knick fans, there are more Ranger fans, and yes, there are more Giant fans. Now, obviously, the Giant-Jets split is not as bad as some of the other teams I just mentioned, but there are more Giant fans. So that's number one, but I put that aside. Number two, and this is going to be a knock at the Giants, so just you're going to have to deal with it. The Jets aren't leaking a damn thing. You guys are walking holes of leaks. Literally. There are rumors around the Jets.
But if it's intentional, it's on purpose.
Maybe.
You do it on purpose.
If it works, good for you.
That's also not true.
But it is true.
No. There are leaks around the Jets. Everybody knows they're taking one of two players. They're just not sexy.
That's not true.
All you've heard
is not true.
Either are taking Membu or Tyler Warren. That's all you hear.
It's speculation. It's educated speculation. There are no leaks coming from the Jets.
All leaks are speculation, dude.
No, not the Giants stuff.
What's
the difference?
What's leaked from the Giants?
Oh, don't worry. We settled in on Jackson Dart
because of Joe Shane's son?
No, hold on. There's a myriad of things. A split in the room between Shane and Daboll got reported a few days ago. Mm. That was where'd that come from? Okay,
probably is made up. But
either way, right. It's coming out of somewhere. There's nothing about the Jets. Other than educated speculation on what we think they're going to do.
So part of the reason this exists is because none of these beat writers know Aaron Glenn. They don't know Darren Mugi. They haven't developed relationships so they can be like, hey, yo, Aaron, what's up with this blah, 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 and he gets back to them. It hasn't happened.
I think that's a great point.
The Giants organization with Shane and Dave's, this is their fourth year.
I agree. There are more leaks.
It's not even leaks. It's just relationships.
There are more things that come out from organizations that have been around together and aren't the 100%. Unknown. I think that's a part of it.
It's the part of it.
I think it's one part.
Like, is the beat writer from the New York Jets, whichever one it
Brian
may be.
Brian Costello.
Let's use Costello as an example.
That's my guy.
Does he have Aaron Glenn's number on speed dial?
Yeah, Aaron Glenn told him to bleep off.
Exactly. Does he have Darren Mooji's number on speed dial? And I'm sure by extension, he got told to bleep off as well.
Yeah, Darren's not that
they
way.
They just don't have the relationship. So there's not even speculation.
So Aaron Glenn tells you to F off. You know what Darren Mooji tells you to do?
What's that?
He just bores you to death. He'll just go on and on about little football things, and you'll be like, what am I listening to?
Evan, also, don't you think where you're picking matters in terms of speculation
and
leaks?
I haven't gotten there yet. That's another part of it. I think that, I do think the Giants are putting more information out, and I think you gave valid reasons on why Jets aren't. I think that the Giants are in a sexier spot in the draft at number 3 versus number 7.
But it's also a desperate spot for the Giants. If, at least 100%. Perceptually it is.
True. I think that's another cute. Look, all these reasons are true, by the way. Mm-hmm. I think there's many reasons that lead to the Giants being more interesting tonight for the common fan than the Jets.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's that the Jets have just told you what they're doing. We're all speculating. And let me tell you one thing that really pisses me off, because I've heard this a lot. And it's the idea of why would you draft Tyler Warren? That doesn't fit a Justin Fields-led offense if you're going to run the football a lot. Now, number one, I have a football disagreement about that because I think Tyler Warren is an excellent run blocker. Right. So, I think he can contribute. But here's the other thing that really annoys me, and I like Justin Fields. Justin Fields is a lottery ticket. We have no idea if he's going to be here past this season. If you're making a draft pick based on why he don't fit with Justin Fields. Justin Fields?
Right. Might not be here next year.
He may not be here next year. That is the most ridiculous reason to not pick a player. So you don't have to want Tyler Warren. You can disagree with me. That's fine. But I don't want to hear this. That doesn't fit a Justin Fields offense. We have no idea if Fields going to be here next year. I hope he is.
I actually think it does, though, because he's a good run blocker as well.
I do agree with you.
But also, you get tight ends because they're closer to the box, meaning where they line up, unless you're lining them up as an X-wide receiver like the Raiders did with Brock Bowers last year. But they're lined up closer to the box, which makes the throw easier. So it doesn't matter if you're running an out, you're running a seam, you're running a sit-down, whatever it is, it's an easier throw for the quarterback. And so if you don't trust your quarterback to throw 17-yard digs,
you want him.
Throw it to the tight end. It's easier. So that argument rings stupid to me.
There are two issues with the argument. You just hit on number one. I just disagree, and I'm with you on the football aspect of it. And then argument number two is I'm not making my pick based on who my temporary quarterback is.
Right.
That would be the most insane way to run a team. And look, right now, Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji are in a good spot. We have rarely killed them because they haven't done anything other than maybe the handling of the Rodgers meeting, which Tiki warned me, Evan, move on from. You're like a jilted lover. Stop thinking about it.
It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter.
I've moved on. Now it's on to football, and you better do smart stuff. Let's go to Donald calling from Long Island. How are you, Donald?
Hey, what's up, Evan?
What's good?
Yo, first off, Evan, I got into sports radio basically listening to you and Joe, so
we appreciate
it. Big respect to you. And Tiki, you're one of the all-time Giants, man.
Thank you, brother.
Now, I'm a little disappointed in Sean and Tommy about this whole Jets to Giant favorite player thing.
Why? What are we doing?
Because, Evan, you're missing someone I think is your favorite.
Yeah.
Victor Cruz is still running, my brother.
Oh, you got me up for that? You got me up for that one? Victor Cruz is still running. That is true. That is the only moment in my life where I hated the New York Giants.
So who's your least favorite New York Giant?
Good one.
My least favorite New York Giant, besides Tiki Barber?
Yeah.
Okay. Besides Tiki Barber.
I'm very nice to your fandoms. I go to Nets games with you.
No, I'm just
joking. I went to a Met game with you, and I stayed the entire game.
Yeah, you did.
I got there late.
Offered you nachos.
And now you hate me?
No, that was playful. Just like my favorite Giant besides Tiki Barber, playful too. My least favorite New York Giant is probably Eli Manning.
Why?
Oh.
He's the most likable guy in the world.
Whoa. Oh, come on, people.
Are you serious?
Eli Manning.
Now I'm going to make y'all feel good. Y'all booed me, now you're going to feel bad. Because I wanted him, and that's exactly what the Jets have been looking for the last 50 million decades. A leader, someone who can handle the pressures of New York, and someone who can ultimately win a championship. which is what he did.
Two.
So sometimes two championships. So sometimes what you hate is what you can't have.
Ooh.
And so respect. Then again, now that I think about it, that's why I should hate Mariano Rivera, too. I had to sit there and watch Armando Benitez for all those years and Braden Looper. When we come back, more of your phone calls. Tyrone Tracy's going to stop by, my favorite current New York football giant. We'll also hear from Bad Tiki. So we got a lot to do as we are hanging out with you from Dream Bar here at American Dream. Head on out here, whether you're going to a draft party at MetLife Stadium or you just want to do a million things like play laser tag, which I did for the first time in 15 years. We'll get to that later on as well. So a lot to do live from the Dream Bar at American Dream. It is Evan and Tiki as we take you right up until 6:30.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm going to be back here in 48 hours. You want to know what? Because as I was walking around American Dream, I saw that Mr. Beast has a burger shop. And my 8-year-old is a little obsessed with Mr. Beast. And so I think we're going to have a Saturday afternoon at American Dream eating some burgers at Mr. Beast.
I think I have a Mr. Beast right here.
A little care package for
Mr.
Beast?
Yeah, for Mr. Beast.
Yeah, don't say anything because I got that as a surprise for myself.
Nice.
I got one too.
Yeah, don't say anything. But yeah, they got
Mr. Beast.
Thank you, Mr. Beast. They got a ton of stuff around here. They got tons of places to eat. We played laser tag earlier today. That went horribly wrong as I was shot by like 10 kids, including both of your daughters, Tiki. They took great pleasure in lasering me many times.
All the kids went after me and you and I think Sean, and that's why Tommy won by like double our score.
Tommy's laser tag performance, I'll say it, was probably one of the greatest sports accomplishments this city has seen in a very long time.
Asterisk, though.
Yeah. Why is there? Because why is there an asterisk?
I'm going to say something because I paid attention to it throughout the game.
Go ahead.
And they do a great job over at the Hasbro game room.
Yeah.
Tommy got the one defective vest.
Oh, is that what you think?
Every time I shot Tommy directly with the laser, it did not register. And I believe he got the high score because he had nothing negative.
Yeah, so I'm going to defend positive Tommy because Tommy, when asked about laser tag, had a glimmer in his eye that seemed unnatural. And because he doesn't have kids, he had no problem attacking the kids.
Yes. They're part of the game. Positive Tommy's not going to show any mercy. I don't care if you're 8 years old. You're an opponent.
He's so cold-blooded.
No, I understand. He's a cold-blooded, cold-blooded man. Here he is, my favorite Giant, Tyrone Tracy. Tyrone, I don't know if you know this, but you're my favorite New York Giant. Nice to see you. And that's been for years now, not just the last 45 minutes, I promise. Can you, by the way, before we talk to Tyrone, can you tell Bad Tiki we're going to do him a little bit later on? He needs to wait for Tyrone Tracy.
Yes. He's not going to be happy.
But just tell him.
He may go after Tyrone next week, but I'll let him know.
I think Bad Tiki and Tyrone will probably have a good relationship anyway, so let him know. So anyone waiting on Bad Tiki, we will get to him in just a few minutes. But joining us right now, one of the running backs of the New York Football Giants. He was drafted last year, and that is Tyrone Tracy. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Appreciate y'all having me out here.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, always.
How you feel? How's your offseason been treating you?
It's been different. It's been different. This is my first official offseason, since I've, was 10. Every year you're always doing basketball, track, football, 7-on-7, AAU. This is the first time I got to just really relax and kick my feet up and just, take some time for myself and really just visualize and take in what happened throughout the season and throughout this past year. But it was really good.
Your last year in college, did you transfer the year before or was it 2 years before?
2 years before. So I was at Iowa for the first 3 years, then last 2 years I was at Purdue.
Nice. And so you really have had movement going on a lot. Iowa, then transfer to Purdue, and then now obviously here in New York. How have you found New York? I'm talking about the energy of the fan base and just living. I see you're living it up on social media these days. But
I love it. I love it. I love New York, and I really do. It's very versatile. You got a lot of different things in one area. You got a lot of different food in one area. And I'm still, I'm a foodie myself. So, any of y'all got any food suggestions, y'all please let me know because I love some food. Food. Pizza and bagels. Pizza and bagels. I hear it. Pizza and bagels.
Right.
I love it. The fans are amazing. I love the diehard Giants fans. I really do. And I feel like that is one of the main things that that holds New York and makes it New York.
Right. We buttered you up enough.
Oh, yeah, now you're going in for the kill.
Right. Who do you want the Giants to draft tonight?
Who do I want him? You can't go wrong at number 3. You really can't. You can, but you can't.
Let's hope we don't.
I promise you can't go wrong
at number three. Tyrone, hold on. Before you continue, here's how they could go wrong. And I know Tiki would be upset. I know all these Giant fans would be upset. And I would think you'd be upset if they draft Ashton Jeanty at number 3.
Yeah, there's no need to do that, but
that's the one.
Yeah, there's no need to do that. But to be honest with you, I think that, they'll draft, Travis Hunter or I've seen a lot of different experts, quote unquote experts, talk about Travis Hunter.
By the way,
Hunter.
None of us know what the hell we're talking about.
I mean, I would say don't quote me. I'm not in draft rooms. I'm not, they don't tell me anything. I'm just a rookie. I'm just going off of my, football knowledge, football IQ, of, what would be best, if I was in that, position.
If they end up drafting a quarterback at number 3, would you go, whoa? What would your reaction be to that?
No, not necessarily. Because if you draft a quarterback, you're basically saying that it's for development. Kind of like Atlanta did last year with Mike. Mm-hmm. They had a vet that came in and played. Mike went in, from time to time throughout the season. And now, he's the starting quarterback.
Have you had a chance to meet and talk with Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston so far?
Yeah, they're here now. So they're going through OTAs with us.
What's their interaction like with the rest of you guys? Because I know they both are very unique personalities.
And they're very different, too. They're very different. So,
no kids.
Russ is kind of like a – he's very straightforward, you know, but Jameis is everywhere. Like, Jameis is, like, cracking jokes, but, like, serious at the same time. Like, we'll be doing, like, a lift, but, like, and the running backs will be over here, and he'll be listening, like, to what the running backs are doing, but, like, the quarterbacks are over there, like, doing arm workouts and stuff. Like, he's a good dude. But, like, the main thing I'm taking away from right now, again, it's only, what, day three, day four, that they are, like, true and behold leaders, you know? So, like, they are real-life leaders of men. So, you don't really need a head coach or offensive coordinator or position coach to step up and say something because you have Russ and you have Jameis Winston in there making sure that we're doing the right things. As you know, everyone knows, we have a young team.
Yes.
So when you have a young team, it's kind of hard to find that leadership within a young team. So now we have two vets at the quarterback position, you know, that are going to help us in that way.
So last year, and these guys know because I say it every year, I hate rookies. I can't stand the fact that
you
didn't do nothing. In fact, you're one of the rookies I like. And it was only because I was calling the game when you broke out.
Yeah, I appreciate
that.
Which
was the Seattle game. And it was your first chance to start. And the one thing I noticed about you, and I kept saying this on the broadcast, is your patience. Like, the reason rookies bother me is because they're so quick. And I was this way, by the way. I was terrible as a rookie because I was way too fast trying to get to the hole. I was way too fast trying to make blocks. I was way too fast trying to snatch and do things. But you have this patience and calm about you, which led to a bunch of big plays. I didn't figure that out till I was 27 or 26 years old or so. How did your rookie season come about so quickly, at least in our eyes, even though it probably took a lot of work from off season through week 5 or 6?
I would say film. I mean, I watch a lot of film. And when I watch film, it's not, you know, obviously watching the good things. Just watch what I can do better. If you watch some of my first games, which I wasn't really getting the ball that much, but when I got the ball, I was just, like, running really fast, either left or right, just trying to make a quick decision and get some yards.
Right.
And then after I, you know, watched it and kind of slowed everything down, I realized that I was just moving too fast. Like, I was passing the lineman that was trying to create a hole for me, so I had to wait for the hole to happen and then turn on the jets and hit it. So that's kind of how it happened for me. And then after, I want to say, like, the Seattle game, the Bengals and the Pittsburgh game, that was kind of when, like, the switch kind of flipped for me. Like, okay, this is how it's supposed to happen.
Right.
And now it's kind of like a rinse and repeat, you know, type of thing. But yeah, that mud hit me in my heart a couple times. But, you know, I feel like a lot of situations you go through in life, you have to experience. You know, someone can't tell you you need to do this unless, like, you experience it. Then now, when we go through stuff in the facility, we go through practice. Now I know the situations, how important the situations are. Now I know how important, you know, ball security when it's, you know, overtime or when it's, you know, games on the line, you know. So understanding that. And then also, I just think I need to get better at, like, I would say, my burst, I feel like my burst is good, but more so my stop and burst. So making a move, but then also, like, getting back to 100, you know, right now. So that's, like, some of the people I watch, like Jahmyr Gibbs. Like, he's one of the dudes that I watch that's like, okay, he has that stop and go that really makes him different, you know, from a lot of other dudes.
When you had that big fumble, I was using Tiki as the sounding board of, like, what's he going through? What's he thinking about? Because Tiki mentioned he had those issues early in his career. What was that week like? Were you walking around with the football all week? Like, how did you handle it? Because obviously you overcame it, but what was that like?
Yeah, it was tough, man. It was really tough, man. Because, like, obviously, like, you got the people on social media, like, beating you down. But, like,
I'm you glad can't look I didn't at that, bro.
I know, but that's the thing. Like, it was – nowadays, like, it's so hard to get around it because, like, you know, everything's off of, you know, on social media. I got people, like, finding my phone number and, like, calling me and stuff. Like, it was crazy. But I got through it. I stay prayed up. I believe in God. So, like, I really, my faith kind of took over because I know everything happens for a reason. So that kind of took over. But then also my teammates, man. Like, my teammates was, like, a huge part of that. Like, they was basically telling me, like, yo, like, just because that happened, don't let that define you as a player, you know, as a person. You know, you can come back better. Like, and then everyone kind of had their own story, you know, because everyone has that story in the NFL to where, like, either it's a fumble, either it's a pick, either, you know, it's a missed tackle for, you know, for a touchdown, or it's a bomb over your head. Like, everyone has that one play to where, you know, it kind of sticks with you throughout, you know, your career. And they was like, yo, like, at least you got it over with in, you know, in your rookie season. That's what everyone kept saying. At least you got it over in your rookie season. But, you know, for me, like I said, I got through it. Just kind of stay faithful. And then I was carrying the ball around. I was doing that. Like, every day after practice, you know, I would run 100 yards every 5 yards, run with the ball, touch the ground, get up. Run with the ball, touch the ground, get up. 100 yards down, 100 yards back. I would do that every day. And then, yeah, ball security was, like, the main thing for me when I was in practice. So, but, yeah.
We're talking to Tyrone Tracy here at American Dream. I don't know if you guys feel this or hear it, but this regime, Dave's regime, kind of is on the hot seat.
Yeah.
And as players, I can imagine that's tough. I went through it a couple of years with Jim Fossil. We were able to push through it until the final one, and obviously Tom Coughlin came in. But do you guys listen and hear that all that stuff? And if so, what do you guys talk about regarding it?
To be honest with you, like, we don't really see it or hear it. He's approaching it as if, you know, this is just another year. You know, obviously we're getting better from what we did last year, but, like, he's bettering some of the stuff that he did wrong last year as well. You know, same as us. Like, you know, he's, you know, looking in the mirror, seeing what he could do better, and then, you know, he's getting better just like we should do the same. So I think as a leader of men, you have to do that first. You have to look at yourself in the mirror. You know, talk about what you can do better before you can talk about others. So that's what Dave is doing. He's coming in, like, you know, obviously he's on the hot seat, but, like, he's also coming in as if, like, he's not on the hot seat as well. Like, he's just being himself. Like, he's not, you know, coming in, going crazy on people. Right. Like, he's still being the same dude.
Well, that's the one great thing about him.
Yeah.
Is he's always the same.
Yeah.
High, low, doesn't matter. He's always the same. He's consistent. And when you talk about him being better, I know you probably can't answer this, but has he given an indication of whether or not he's calling plays again?
No, he hasn't actually. Well, we haven't even called. We haven't, like, gotten into that. Like I said, it's only, like, day four. It's only day four, so we haven't really gotten into that. But, like, he hasn't, to be honest with you, he really hasn't, because, like, he gets up and talk. The OC gets him. Like, everyone's getting their little – I don't know if y'all noticed, but, like, that everyone gives them, give their, like, presentation over, like, their spot on the offense, if that makes sense. So, like, some people, the running back coach, he has ball security. The, you know, wide receiver coach, he has, like, red zone and, you know, the hot spots and stuff like that on scramble drills. And so, like, that's what we're doing right now. We haven't really even got to, like, the play call. So,
did Russ give a speech?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, was it corny or was it, like,
cool? It was a cool speech. I feel like Jameis Winston was a little bit cooler.
Oh, you know, I'm surprised. Jameis is cooler.
But Jameis is just a free spirit, you know. Russ was, like I said, he's more strict, more straightforward. But when he got up, it wasn't really like a speech. It was more so, you know, about him, where he's from, so that, you know, we can know a little bit about him.
I have a theory, and you're the perfect person to ask because you're there. And I said this to Tiki. I said, you know what concerns me about the Giants? Jameis Winston is a guy I want to follow. Jameis Winston's a guy I want to hear from. And I could see the offense saying, you know, no offense, Russ, we want to follow that guy. Is that a potential possibility that Winston is cool, like you said, and guys are just going to be like, yeah, Russ, you're all right. I want to follow him.
I mean, yes and no, but at the same time, I feel like Russ is the type of dude that, like, as long as we're all going on the same train, like, he don't care, you know, who we talking to or who we following. Like, I feel like Russ and Jameis are like this, you know what I'm saying? So, like, they're talking about the same things. Like, they're in the same room, obviously, so, like, they have the same core values, like, or they wouldn't be on the team. So, like, I feel like right now, what we're doing and what they're saying is the same thing. So,
you guys aren't on the field yet, right? Have you been on the field?
No.
So you're just in meetings, you're lifting weights, you're getting around each other. I mean, you guys haven't been throwing the ball around, and obviously I think that happens right after
the draft. We've been doing routes on air, but, like, that's about it.
But nothing where it's formal. Like, this is what it sounds like in the huddle. This is Jameis calling the plays. This is Russ calling the plays.
This is the lineup.
What it's going to look like. And I ask that question because there's something about when a quarterback gets into a huddle and just has command of it.
Yeah.
Like, you know it when you see it, and you can't know that yet. But I'm curious, who sounds more commanding in the huddle? I mean, honestly, because I know both of these guys.
Yeah.
I've called and followed both of them.
Yeah.
Ronde knows Jameis really well because when he was down in Tampa.
Yeah.
But their personalities are so different, but I also think they both have commanding presences in the huddle.
Yeah, like I said, I think that's the reason they're here, though. Like, when they talk, people listen.
Right.
You know, that's what you want. You want someone who's going to talk in a locker room, but then you want people who to listen to that person talk. You don't want someone to talk, but then everyone's like,
whatever.
You know what I'm saying? I don't care who this is. Like, but you want someone who's going to say something, and then people react to what they say. You know, if Jameis or Russ say, hey, everyone behind the line, I promise you everyone's going to get behind the line.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then not only because of Jameis or Russ, but it's because, like, first of all, they got success that follows them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've been through. They've been in the league for a long time. Like, they know what it takes to get to the Super Bowl. They know what it takes to have winning seasons. You know, that's what we all want. We all want winning seasons. No one wants to lose games. Like, we don't do this to lose games. Like, we want to go out there and play well. Like, I got my mama watching the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I don't want my mom watching me getting blown out. You know what I'm saying? I want to win games.
We're talking to Tyrone Tracy of the New York Giants. Did you hear, you know, Tiki asked you about, did you hear the chatter of Dable being on the hot seat? Did you hear the chatter from Giant fans who actually didn't want you to win games at the end of the season?
Yeah, I mean, I understand because they want us to get the number one.
Yeah, right. No, that's the reason. Yeah.
But, like, they don't.
Bro, that drove me crazy.
Yeah, but they got to understand, like, we football players, but, like, we're not going out there thinking, like, yo, oh, we got to lose this game so that we can get the number one pick.
You hear that, like, fans? You hear that, Giant fans? Stop that BS. Never again. And if you call our show and you say it, I'm hanging up on you and I'm cussing you out. Period. Well said. Well said.
We go out there to win
Sean
games,
does
man.
It all the time.
We go out there to win games.
The guy dressed
I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the fans that wanted to have the number one pick. Like, I understand, but, like, I don't understand at the same time. I feel like if I were to tell you to go to your school or whatever and fail a test, you wouldn't go fail. You'd go get an A. You go get an A. So, like, you feel me? It's the
that's
same thing.
Good, that's a good example.
Especially when failing that test could lead them to drafting someone who could replace you. Not you particularly, but you in general. Like, getting a better player means, oh, that may replace me at my workplace. So it's a weird thing.
Yeah, I mean, but to be honest with you, like, I never really think about that just because, like, I believe in myself. You know, I believe I'm here for a reason. And if someone do come in and take my job, that just means, like, God has something better for my purpose, you know. So if anything that does happen, you know, within this year to where, like, you know, I don't end up in the same spot I am right now, that just means something else.
You go play wide receiver?
I could, you know what I'm saying?
Y'all were, I'm saying, look, I could. It's the more you can do.
I'm telling
they
you,
they always say the more you can do.
I could. If they needed me to go play wide receiver.
Can you also play corner like Travis Hunter? Can you do that?
If they want me to.
There you go.
What was, you know, tonight is a big night. It's the first round of the draft. Some guys are going to drop. Some guys are going to go up quicker. For you, where did you think you were going? Obviously, you kind of knew, all right, I'm not going night one. But what was the weekend for you like in terms of where you expected to go, whether it's round or even franchise?
Yeah, so to be honest, the Giants, they only talked to me one time throughout the whole process.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they talked to me at the Shrine Bowl. The GM was there. The head coach wasn't there. It was GM, so Joe, assistant GM, Brandon, and, like, all, like, the scouts.
Right.
You know, they was all there. When they had, like, a big table, I talked to them there. But other than that, they didn't talk to me. So I went to go visit the Cardinals, the Commanders, and I went to the Saints. And honestly, I thought it was going to be the Saints or the Commanders. Mm. So because when I went to the Commanders, like, oh man, we really like you. You know, if we have a shot at you, we're going to take you early. And they had the last pick of the third round. That's when I was like, okay, this is a possibility.
Right. Feels right.
Like, it feels like it could be, but, like, I didn't want to get my hopes up, so I was just like, yeah, like, if it don't happen, I'm cool. Like, I'm good. Be honest with you, I thought I was going to go, like, fourth round. But, again, I truly believe everything happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. So, like, I believe I'm here with the Giants for a specific reason. So, every team that me and my agents went through that said that was going to take a running back, they took a running back. They just didn't take me. You know?
Do you think it hurt you that because you switched positions? I mean, it's relatively new to you.
I think it really helped me. Because if you look at it, at my speed, I run a 4.47. At my height and weight, where I'm 6'6", like 210, I'm a big average speed receiver.
Right.
But then you turn me to running back, I'm a big, fast running back, you know, agile, that can catch the ball at the backfield, that can run
makes
routes,
sense.
Like, you know, that has the receiver background, like all these different things.
You finished second amongst rookies in rushing last year, right? Bucky.
Yeah. He was first.
He was first down in Tampa. But that was really because of opportunities. He had more opportunities than you did. But as you look and go into season two, year two, what is your personal expectation? Forget the team for right now. We'll get to that in a second. But for you, where do you want to be?
To be honest with you, I want to have overall like 1,200 yards. I want 10 touchdowns. I want, you know, the Pro Bowl, All Pro. Like, I have all these big, huge accolades that I want for my name because I truly believe, like, if you shoot super, super big, you'll be able to obtain it.
Now, with that being said,
Do you think you have the team to do that? Yeah. Offensively wise, do you have the infrastructure to do it?
Yes. I didn't start playing until game five of last year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I had 800 yards or 600 yards at, you know, what I think it was like game 10, yeah. something like that around there.
No, but I mean your team. Is the offensive line good enough?
Right, yeah,
Is the situation good enough for you to do that?
Yes. I said that part because before the injuries happened, you know, our run game was really, really good. You know, our protection was really good. But then obviously we had some injuries happen, like people go down. We start switching stuff up, you know, stuff start falling apart. But if we can stay healthy, I'm telling you, I can do it.
That confidence, man. So here's the thing. Tyrone Tracy, you're good with it. Whoever they take at three, as long as it's not Ashton Jenkins. That's where we're at, Giant fans. Tyrone, we really appreciate you stopping by.
Having me, man.
Really good talking to you.
I appreciate you, brother.
There he is, the great Tyrone Tracy, here live from American Dream, here at Dream Bar. Now, we are late for the very first time ever in talking to Bad Tiki. And Bad Tiki has demanded he come on at 4:30. It is now 4:52. So my question to Tommy Lugauer, as the fine executive producer of this program, and I don't know because I'm afraid of him.
Yes.
Bad Tiki right now.
I think we should probably break and then do Bad Tiki.
Bad Tiki, that was Tommy's decision. That was not my decision. Tommy said break and then we'll hear from Bad Tiki. I just want that on the record because I'm chicken. I'm not dealing with this.
I already get enough shrapnel from Bad Tiki. What's a little more?
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drive deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. That it's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.